Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's October 8th, 2024. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. Appreciate everybody listening to this show, as always. We've got a great one planned for you. ESPN analyst Lewis Riddick, who's been very high on Jaden Daniels from Jump Street, joins us in 1 hour at 3. Caps defenseman John Carlson stops by as they get ready to open their season on Saturday night. They've got a huge 50th celebration party planned for Thursday that Carlson will be at. We'll talk to him about that in 2 hours when he joins us at 4. By the way, we're giving away tickets to the Caps and the Stars 9 days out on Thursday night next week, right at 4 o'clock, ahead of the Blitz when Carlson joins us. And at 5 o'clock, because it's Tuesday, our usual appointment every week with Austin Eckler. If you have not heard that interview, it's getting rave reviews. He is outstanding.
He's so good.
He will be with us, presented by IT Cadre, coming up in about 3 hours right here on G&D. This is about as good a Tuesday rundown as you're going
to
find.
Well, 3-4-5, heart of the order type shtick right there. I love that. The only thing I have to report before we get into the regular meat of the show, I had a horrendous case of the hiccups earlier today. And I wasn't near, because you know my foolproof method, where you have to drink and then swallow upside down, right? Which gets rid of the hiccups.
You're a believer in that. Yeah. I don't really buy it, but I know you swear by it.
Yeah, because it works. It's 100% effective every time. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But I wasn't near a place where I could do that. So I had to like grin and bear it. I held my breath. That didn't work. I like tried to think about something else. That didn't work. Because every, you know, whatever it is, 28 seconds on the dot, it's like one of those terrible hiccups. You know those like old guy ones? I had those.
The cartoon character hiccups.
Yeah, it was just horrendous. And I finally got myself near a chair where I could do my hang upside down move and drink and instantly gone. But I had a good 15-minute run of bad hiccups. That's my story.
It is Tuesday, which means Commander Survivor on Grant and Danny. You are going to Facebook. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote a player off the island, to give a player immunity. Last week, you kicked Deron Payne off the island. So this season so far, already eliminated Emmanuel Forbes, De'Ami Brown, John Allen, Deron Payne in the four games Washington have played to this point. Both of the premier D tackles on this team. Among the four players.
And how about that, by the way?
Asked to pack their bags in the first month of the season. Brian Robinson came into today immune for his efforts this past week. Doesn't need immunity because he scored 2 touchdowns on 7 attempts in the first half before he got shut down at halftime playing with a banged up knee. But today you're voting these players available, right? Somebody goes home. Somebody gets immunity. Robinson can't get it 2 straight weeks. So still alive on offense, looking for immunity and hoping not to be sent home. Jaden Daniels, Austin Eckler, who joins us at 5 o'clock. Terry McLaurin, coming off 100 yards, did have a lost fumble and a drop touchdown. Zach Ertz, who nearly lost a fumble, was saved by replay assistance. Brandon Coleman had a strong game at left tackle. Myles Garrett didn't have a single stat, not one.
0 stats, other than snaps, meaning he was on the field, but you wouldn't have known it.
Coleman's in a timeshare, played about 50% of snaps, and then Sam Cosmi. Cosmi did have a penalty, I believe, but mostly was pretty good. Gave up, you know, wasn't a penalty. It was the early sack that he got beat.
That's right.
By Za'Darius Smith that I'm thinking of. Defensively, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Benjamin St. Just, Quan Martin, Jeremy Chin, and then Austin Seibert, the kicker, is still around. Seibert was perfect again. Wagner had a big game. Louvu had 2.5 sacks, may have been the best player on the field for Washington. St. Just did nice job in coverage against Amari Cooper, so those guys should all be safe, but it's your vote, not ours. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
Pretty easy vote for me this week. I'll reveal who I voted for later on, or you could find that yourself by going to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
Who are you sending home?
This person on offense had 8 targets, but only 2 catches, a couple drops, a couple balls that absolutely 100% should have been caught that weren't.
Zach Ertz?
Yes.
Okay, you're sending Zach Ertz home, and you're giving immunity to, I'm thinking it's either going to be Jaden Daniels, although Daniels probably didn't have as good a performance as Louvu did. Louvu should get immunity, or Bobby Wagner for me.
It's Frankie Louvu. That's the Frankie Louvu game. When I think of the Frankie Louvu game this year, I'm going to think of the Cleveland game where he did everything. What didn't you do? He didn't serve popcorn to the Section 300. That's the only thing he wasn't able to do on Sunday. And I'm not going to hold it against him because he did everything on the football field.
If Robert Saleh wants to serve popcorn in Section 300,
he'll be able to.
He is now available to do that. He was fired today by the New York Jets. I did not see this coming. after a London game with another game coming up against Buffalo. A big game, by the way, this week. Now, Tuesday's the off day in the National Football League. Mostly players are not even in the facility unless they're getting some treatment there at home. But he got to work studying the film, doing the things he normally does, walking to his office first thing this morning, and he got intercepted before he got to his door to sit down at his desk, and he was told he was meeting with ownership, Woody Johnson, Chris Johnson, his brother. They promptly dismissed him. He's been fired. They have elevated defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who is a solid disciple. Asala was 5 games into year 4. He was 20-36 as the head coach of the New York Jets. Back-to-back 7-win seasons the last 2 years. Last year, obviously, they lose their quarterback, Rodgers, in the opener. So they wanted to give him a shot with Aaron Rodgers. And he and Rodgers have been butting heads. I mean, that is the worst-kept secret in the league. Mostly behind the scenes, but occasionally publicly as well. You've seen some weird interactions. We talked about the press conferences last week where Rodgers went after Saleh for not basically coming down on the linemen for jumping offsides on false starts, rather saying that Rodgers needs to clean up his cadence. There was the weird interaction on the field where Saleh went to give him a hug and Rodgers kind of shoved him away. To me, this is pretty obvious. Aaron Rodgers runs that team. They went and made the deal with the devil, and maybe that's not the right phrase here, but they brought in the 40-plus-year-old quarterback who wants to run the show, who was angry in Green Bay because they wouldn't let him run the show. They said, here you go, sir. Here's your organization. Take us to the Super Bowl. And forgetting for a moment that Rodgers has really struggled and not playing well, it's been a disaster mostly. Like, Saleh's defense is number one in the NFL right now. The offense is 27th. Saleh fired. Rodgers is going to continue to start and probably try to bring in his buddy Davante Adams next.
Yeah, easier to get rid of one than the other at this point, right? Just given contracts. I felt like his days were numbered when he said maybe Rodgers has to change his cadence or clean up his cadence, whatever that was. I thought that was the most wrong thing anybody has ever said at a podium. Like, the weapon that he has. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I'll get to Aaron Rodgers in a second, remains a lot to deal with. He's first team all a lot to deal with. He's the captain. He'd like to own the team as well. He's a lot to deal with. But that's still a weapon. That cadence and that thing has gotten more free plays than anybody at arcade in human history. I mean, that is a thing that needs to be emphasized and utilized. And when he said, yeah, maybe I got to clean up the cadence, wrong. Days are numbered, as far as I was concerned.
That wasn't the first time either. Remember in minicamp.
That excused absence,
exactly.
Unexcused absence thing, yeah.
When Rodgers was in Egypt, I think it was. We didn't know that at the time. But instead of just coming up to the podium and lying to everyone for the betterment of either your relationship with Rodgers or just to not create drama, like, let's not even make it that he had to put Rodgers over or make him look good, but just to avoid in a major media market where every molehill is a mountain.
Yeah, everything's a thing.
He came up to the podium and was like, yeah, it's an unexcused absence. He'll be here when he wants to be here. And it made Rodgers the bad guy in that situation. Now, I'm not pretending like he's a victim. He chose to go to Egypt.
Right, he is the bad guy.
On one of the few times that he should have been at the office working with his team where it's mandated all offseason. But that was a choice that Saleh made that clearly damaged their relationship. You got to know who you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers is a giant pain in the ass who wants to be appealed to and appeased and told how good he is all the time, and he doesn't want you pushing back and bristling. Like, he wants you to do it his way. So if you're going to play games with Aaron Rodgers, you're going to get the horns every now and then. So between that comment and then the podium discrepancy, we need to do something different with snap count. And then Rodgers saying, or we could just hold guys accountable. You knew this thing was rotten from the inside out.
Yeah, so I did not expect you land on the plane from coming home from London, and then the first day you come back to work, you're gone.
I was stunned when I saw this today.
I thought he was going to get fired because they just don't look right.
But you thought at the end of the year, right?
Like, no, sometime during the season.
So you thought they'd continue to play like crap and he'd get fired.
Yeah.
That was definitely a possibility. I guess for me, I hadn't really thought about it beyond, I didn't think it was this right now.
Like, yeah, I did not have right now. I'm not some sort of seer.
But I also don't think Saleh is a great coach. Again, he's 20-36 overall. He has not gotten the quarterback situation correct, which is not all his fault. He has not gotten the OC situation correct, which certainly recently has nothing to do with him because you're basically placating Rodgers by going and getting Nathaniel Hackett. Having said that, though, Danny, you hired a defensive-minded head coach. He is the defensive leader of the building, right? He is the head of the snake on defense. And since the moment he was hired, they are number one in points per drive. They are number one in EPA per play defensively. He gave you a great defense.
Yep.
Now, your GM, Joe Douglas, has to pick players on offense that make plays. Your decision at quarterback has to work. I'm not saying his hands are clean here, but when you hire a defensive-minded head coach, if they give you a great defense, they kind of did the thing that they do. Like, the guy you hired walked through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to blame him for the quarterback situation, because that's partially on him too, no problem. But I guess my point is, when you hire defensive-minded, you better get quarterback right. Because if you don't, it cannot work.
So they are, there's some things that aren't necessarily, I don't know if it's on Saleh, I don't know if it's on Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if it's on Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know what I don't know. I do know this. Breece Hall was excellent. I promise you that's a good running
back. Are we sure?
Yes.
Because I was sure before the year. His numbers are awful.
They're atrocious. Brian Baldwin had a great breakdown of this where there is just, on a play that should be getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, there are dudes in the backfield that are ruining it. Like, their run game is broken.
They're the worst run team right now in the NFL statistically.
And they're among the worst run teams that I've watched. I mean, they can't do it.
And that's with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, both of whom are, you would think, I think we feel like, are really good.
Yeah, Breece Hall is explosive, can do a little bit of everything. He's got a little, I'm trying to think of the guy. Why am I blanking on his name? Held out for a year, Pittsburgh Steelers
Le'Veon
running back.
Bell.
Yeah, he's got some Le'Veon Bell to it, the way he doesn't glide the same way, but has that kind of little bit of elusiveness. Breece Hall can play. He's averaging 3 yards a carry.
Let me ask you a question, though. Why is he averaging 3 and their other running backs are averaging more? I'm not saying he is the problem. Like, Braylon Allen, before this past week, I think was at 5 yards.
Yeah, he's at 4.5.
Still in the mid-4s. That's a pretty big discrepancy.
It's a large discrepancy. I think it's early game. It's first down. Let's do the thing. Hand it to Breece Hall. Is getting stuffed. I haven't gone carry for carry, but remember those years where Washington's starting running back was pretty pedestrian, then Chris Thompson's averaging 5 yards a carry on draws and, you know, getting better looks? Who knows what's true? But Allen runs hard, and I like him too. But Breece Hall's a stud. Be that as it may, they're broken right now. And instead of firing everybody or firing everyone on the offensive staff or you know, doing something to try to fix this, they're going just for the top, the head of the snake, to see if maybe that gives them a jolt. But if your evaluation of the Jets is, they're a pretty talented team with some good pieces, their season's slipping away. Like, they're 2-3 and probably should be worse than that. Like, they don't look good at all. Their
and
offense
they
stinks.
They played Buffalo this week.
Yeah.
Which is a nice little one-way ticket to 2-4, perhaps.
Right.
Now I think you give them a little bit more of a chance because of that seemingly locked-in dead cat bounce. Doesn't mean you always win, but when a team fires a coach in season, that next game is almost always better than the several that precluded it. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why the term has been coined, right? I mean, you look at anytime there's a major change. I mean, Carolina's back to being terrible, but the first day it wasn't Bryce Young, everybody's skipping free in the fields, and their offense was the best in the sport that weekend. You know, now they've regressed back to the mean, and Andy Dalton's doing Andy Dalton things. But that happens when a coach, everyone's like, ding dong, the witch is dead. We feel better about ourselves now, and we go out and play a little bit better.
If I'm a Jets fan, or if I'm in that front office, this move at least gives me hope that something will change. Doesn't mean Saleh was the whole problem. Frankly, the problem is the offense.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is unequivocally and irrefutably when they have the football, not when they're defending. They're mm-hmm. great when they're defending. This changes nothing. Nathaniel Hackett's still Nathaniel Hackett. They need Rodgers, who threw 3 picks, mostly bad mm-hmm. picks in a bad performance in London, to play a lot better. None of that changes when you fire Robert Saleh. But you're just hoping for a momentum-shifting goalie pool, basically. Like, when the team is playing like crap, maybe the goalie isn't 100% of the problem. He let up a soft goal or two. You've given up 5 goals after 25 minutes or something. But you pull the goalie because it just rattles everybody's cages a little bit, and you start to walk a little straighter, a little narrower. They got the Bills this weekend. If they win that game, they're in first place.
Mm-hmm.
You get that?
Yeah.
I don't mean you specifically, but think about this. Buffalo's lost 2 in a row. The Dolphins are dead. The Patriots are awful. They might be going to Drake May here in the next week or two. It's there for you if you can just be okay on offense. And I think maybe this is a, let's just see if we can motivate people to be a little bit better on that side of the ball.
Yeah, this is one of those it's worth a shot type moves, right? Again, it's unfair. It's why the head coach makes so much money. It's why he's in charge. So you get this. You know, we can't fire 15 people. We're not getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. There's not only so much we can do. Our hands are pretty tied. Before this thing slips away, let's try to do this now and try to get this thing on the right track. I don't know if it's going to work long term or not, but I'm surprised it was today. I thought they'd go another couple of weeks. They'd be middling. And if their eval is, we're too talented to be this bad, then yeah, get rid of the culture setter, that the head coach. But this is basically, to me, a tug of war between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh that Aaron Rodgers won.
I'm taking a 3-second video midway through a several-hour road trip, but man, do the Packers look like they did the right thing. right now. The way the Jordan Love development is gone, siding with basically Gutekunst and LaFleur, letting Rodgers walk. And contrarily, man, does it look like some teams dodged some bullets who let the Jets be the team to get into the Aaron Rodgers business. But Saleh fired today. Pretty stunning news out of the NFL. We're getting ready in D.C. for the Commanders and the Ravens this weekend. The two highest scoring offenses, Danny, in the National Football League this year. Think about that. And we've been talking a lot about the record 4-1 and how good the Commanders have been. They are must-see appointment television. They have scored 155 points this year, most in the league. The Ravens at 147, second in the NFL.
And they're doing it in similar yet, you know, to each other, but different ways than a lot of the rest of the league is, right? I mean, these are the 1-2 rush offenses and, you know, cue all the run and dang ball. See, we told you guys, you know, claiming victory about that. You know, I'd point to some pretty prolific passing totals and some really efficient passing totals for Jaden Daniels. And, you know, Lamar Jackson threw for almost 400 this past week. But
yeah, they're the best two running offenses, to your point, in the league. The numbers are the Ravens averaging 211 a game. The Commanders averaging 178. Nobody else is at that threshold. But, you know, I always say points don't come from the running game. Well, number one, these teams are putting that theory to the test, obviously. But a lot of the points, you think about Washington, a 66-yard pass, mm-hmm. a 41-yard touchdown dropped into the bucket, right? The deep shot, 55 yards to McLaurin, sets up a rushing touchdown. The explosiveness in the passing game for these two teams coming, to your point, from the top two running games in the league.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's certainly unconventional, but this is kind of the modern way to do it, right? Everyone would love to have a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning patting the football and let's just go five wide and sling it all over the place. Well, the next best thing is this cheat code of an athletic quarterback that even when you're wrong, you're right. And they mirror each other in a lot of ways. Baltimore further ahead. Obviously, this has been a group that every time Lamar Jackson is healthy, they win 65, 70% of their games, win 11, 12, 13, 14, sometimes 15 games. They've been excellent. And they got off to kind of their, you know, a middling start. Washington is off to a rip-roaring start. This is the matchup of the week.
Top two dual-threat quarterbacks in the league. Daniels has run more than any other quarterback 57 times. Jackson second on that list with 53. Daniels, if you're looking at how they get to their rushing totals, Jaden Daniels scrambles a lot more on passing plays. He's back, especially when pressured. We can go into these numbers later. But he turns passing plays into quarterback runs a lot, whereas the Ravens actually design a lot more runs for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And that's been the big difference. Daniels, 28 scrambles, 9 more than anybody else in the league, and 11 more than Lamar Jackson. But it's the scheduled, planned runs for Lamar that has him number two to Daniels within 4 runs this season in terms of attempts at quarterback. Pro Football Talk came out with their power rankings just a few minutes ago. They've got Washington 5, by the way. I've seen them 5
Holy
in
hell.
2 different rankings today.
I have a reaction. No one can see my face unless you're on YouTube.
We are streaming live, by the way, on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, in addition to being live coast to coast on the Odyssey app and all over town on 106.7.
I'm doing that thing when I don't have an explanation. My wife asked me, why'd you do that? I just kind of... I can't believe it.
Palms like, up.
It makes sense, right? I mean, they're prolific offense and improving defense. Everything seems to be going swimmingly. They belong there. I don't know what to do.
So I actually want to dive into this with you right now. And we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this as well at 800-636-1067. Where are the Commanders ranked for you right now? I don't need the specific number necessarily, but maybe the better way to put it is, how many teams are, can you make the case, can you say, are actually definitely better than Washington? What is an unreasonable thing to say in terms of where they could rank among the power rankings in a league where there are just 2 5-0 teams and they're 4-1 and have the best offense? 800-636-1067. We'll get into that next. Lewis Riddick at 3, John Carlson at 4, Austin Eckler at 5. Going to be a heck of a show. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We may be excited for the start of the football season. However, we all know folks around us may have lost a friend or family member recently, the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, can guide you through the difficult probate administration process. They'll help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It's a Survivor Tuesday, facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote a commander off the island based on their performance on Sunday against the Browns and to give a player immunity. I think there's plenty of options when it comes to immunity after a game like the one they played against the Browns. Louis Riddick's on the show in 30 minutes. ESPN analyst, very, very high on Daniels since before the draft. Looking forward to talking to him on this show. Danny, the question is, how many teams are better right now than the Commanders? And I think the way to answer that is complicated based on whether or not we want to make this solely on these 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you account for expectations coming in, recency over the last few years, kind of lifetime achievement? Because I'll give you the example. In other words, right now, this moment, the Lions or the Commanders? Well, the Lions, through 5 weeks, have not been as impressive as the Commanders. But they were really good last year, were an NFC Championship game team a year ago, have Super Bowl expectations. They're a better bet to still be in the mix at the end of the NFC playoffs this year. But is that what we're talking about? Or are we talking about who, through 5 weeks, has played the best football?
Then Washington is higher on the list if it's the second criteria. So I'll give you another example. San Francisco, they're 2-3. Are you 100% sure, with a lot of pelts on the wall there in San Fran, where they get right and they go to NFC title games and Super Bowls every other year, it seems like? How sure are you that they're dead in the water? Right now, they've played, what, the 17th or 18th best in the NFL? But there's some pedigree, some track record here, whereas this is all very new. For Washington. So it's always, that's kind of that subjective measure, right? Where it's hard to figure.
So people can do whatever they want with their rankings. What I am doing here when I answer this question is I am looking through a very small, narrow window at just 5 weeks of football.
Like, so take names out of it. Take exactly. Cities, circumstances. Who's played the best football?
Organization does not matter. Mm-hmm. Jersey being worn doesn't matter. It's a blind ballot, so to speak. And my evaluation began at 12:59 East time before week one, let's say, right? And by way of that metric right now, I would say the Commanders have been more impressive than the Chiefs, who are 5-0.
Yeah.
The Commanders have been more impressive than the Lions, who are 4-1. The Commanders have been more impressive than the Texans, who are currently ahead of them in the Pro Football Talk rankings as well. In fact, the only team probably I would have ahead of Washington, just based on these 5 weeks, is the Minnesota Vikings at 5-0. And I say that after the Vikings just played their most pedestrian game, but I do remember that the Commanders in week one were pretty disastrous, and it was a fairly disgraceful effort, even for a team under a new staff. But is that the way we should be looking at it? Like, does that work for you?
It's helpful. That's a data point, right? Versus, you know, big picture, who's going to be good in a couple of weeks, who's shown enough, who's going through it right now. Like, Buffalo is really good. Now, they lost this past week, and they've lost two straight. I'm going to bet on them to have, you know, double-digit wins and be a factor in the AFC postseason when it comes to it, right? Same with Baltimore, same with Kansas City. We all know this. Kansas City is the weirdest 5-0 team ever, where they don't have much prolific. And are you sure Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be the dude for the rest of the way, go for 100 yards a week? Of course not. But we also know that it's Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. So they deserve every benefit of the doubt they get.
I guess, said differently, it being really good through five games or number two in the power rankings or whatever gets you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no moral otherwise victory about that, right? But if that's the exercise, then you could put them as high as second or third in the NFL right now.
And without question. So Minnesota's won the best point differential in the sport. Defensively, they've been so good. I think they've given up the second fewest points in the league through this many games.
To who?
I want to say the Jets. Yeah.
They're the number one defense in the NFL yardage-wise.
Yeah, I mean, they've been fantastic in that regard. The fewest points allowed in the NFC.
All right, rapid fire here. More impressive to this point in the year. And remember that week one happened. I think it's easy for us to forget that because of these last four wins.
But it all
right?
counts if we're doing 5 weeks. Exactly. 5 weeks, yeah.
Lions or Commanders?
I'd say Washington.
Me, too. Vikings or Commanders?
Vikings.
I would agree with that. Chiefs or Commanders?
Washington's been more impressive.
Ravens or Commanders?
Washington.
Texans or Commanders?
That one's really close.
Texans got blown out by the Vikings.
Yep. They have one loss where they just didn't show up, were terrible.
So
other than that, they were really good.
Yeah.
So that one's close.
But they have not beaten teams like the Commanders have.
Now we're picking nits. These are top five teams here.
Yeah.
So I would say Houston because the way they beat Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, I'm kind of going, you deserve to lose that game. You got out by the skin of your teeth. Washington's got that version of that with the Giants. This is a close one. I narrow edge Washington in that regard.
Same. Packers.
Washington.
Falcons.
Washington.
Bucks.
Washington.
I mean, that's kind of, there's a big drop off after
mm-hmm.
that. You get the point.
Yep.
Now, maybe someone could just turn on the radio right now and say, who cares that they've been the second best team in football? And okay, that's cool. I get your point. But to that, I would say, oh my God, there's 32 teams.
Yeah.
This team is normally in the 27 to 32 range. And right now we're suggesting there has been one team more impressive than Washington. And it's a 5-0 team that going into its game this Sunday had the front-running MVP at quarterback. Let's go to Jeremiah in Fairfax on G&D. What's up, Jeremiah?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
So my metric, I kind of did it with a little bit of both. I'm taking into account how the teams are. I'm also CeeDee Lamb is CeeDee Lamb, even if the Cowboys are struggling. So I'm kind of doing a mix of both. I'm also factoring in injuries. My calculation, I recounted, there are 9 teams ahead of the Commanders. I'll just go ahead and list them so I can do that real quick.
Hang on real quick. I got a question first, though. This
okay,
is just
go ahead, go
teams
ahead, go
that
ahead.
If the Commanders played them this weekend, you would expect to beat the Commanders. Is that right?
Yes. This is if these teams lined up today, October 8th, I would expect the Commanders to lose. Not by much, but to lose.
All right, let's hear it.
So my 9 are the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, the Vikings, and lastly, the Lions. I know record-wise they're not all equal to the Commanders, but I feel the talent that they have on their team and just what we know them to be would get them the victory.
So I think it's a smart call. I think it's all reasonable. They've already played the Bengals and they beat them, right? They're about to play Baltimore. I don't think they'll beat Baltimore, so I would agree with you on that one. You could throw the Chiefs and the Niners as mainstays in there, no problem. San Francisco just lost to a Cardinals team that Washington blew out. And I know that's not how the league works, but hard not to acknowledge that fact. We are elbow deep into something that is hard to quantify here. When you start putting together a power rankings, they could lose all of those games. They could also win them all, which is why they very much are in play in the top 3.
Yeah, to the caller's point, you'd expect them to be competitive, which is different than we're used to around here. The point to me is, remember when the number of times we'd be at 28th or 31st or whatever the number was, and people wanted to quibble with that. That's not the point. The point is you're in that bottom bucket of crap. This point is they're in the wonderful bucket that glows when you open up the bucket.
Yeah, my point is there's not a team they could play on Sunday where you wouldn't give them a chance right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or where you would say they're definitely not going to win that game. They're the largest underdog they've been at any point this season by way of the books, 7 points going into this Ravens game. And it feels like a toss-up kind of game. Let's go to Nate in D.C. on G&D. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
All right, you took the words right out of my mouth. Picture the scene from Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, okay? So at the end of the day, you asked who we would rank ahead of the Commanders at this point. I would rank no one. I feel as if, just like you were saying, we could beat anybody on the field. Statistics and all of that taken into account, and past histories and all. I get all of that, and I know that it's talent all around the league, 32 teams. But against any of those other 31 teams, think about this. Before we played Giants, they picked the Giants to win. Before we played the Bengals, they picked the Bengals to win. Before we played the Browns, they picked the Browns to win. Now they're picking the Ravens to win. We can beat anybody. So at the end of the day, I rank nobody ahead of the Commanders at this point because even the best team in the league, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, are playing very human at this point.
And yesterday, I think, Nate, was their best game. They handled New Orleans with ease. They got a 400 offensive yard outing. Patrick Mahomes threw for 300. Kelsey looked better. They had a receiver step up in Juju Smith-Schuster. So finally, they connected some dots that they hadn't been able to. But that had been a really uninspiring, kind of lethargic We're winning because that's what we do around here,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like we're good.
This isn't style points, Chiefs. This is let's just go to the next week.
Yeah, there's just no one that would really scare me. And that doesn't mean Washington can't go out and lose, you know, a few games in their next four or something like that. That absolutely is on the table. But they have now gotten to a point where they could win every week, where they should be in every single game the way things are trending right now. 800-636-1067. The question we've asked you guys is, how many teams are definitely better than Washington in this moment? We'll get back to that. Plus, I found a couple of really fascinating stats about the first month of the season in the NFL I'll throw at you. We'll do that as soon as we return. Louis Riddick in 20 minutes. Austin Eckler today at 5 on Grant and Danny. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. At the top of the hour, Louis Riddick is going to join us, ESPN analyst. We'll talk to him about the Commanders' 4-1 start that nobody saw coming. Jaden Daniels playing the way that he has as well. He has been masterful. I saw a couple of really interesting stats I wanted to pass along really quickly, Danny. Did you know that the Minnesota Vikings have trailed in their games this season basically only a couple of minutes of football in five games?
That's
right,
wild.
Now 3 minutes and 26 seconds trailing through five games. Since the 1970 merger, only the 2009 Saints, who had not trailed for a single second, the 84 Dolphins, you know about that team, right? They lost in the Super Bowl. Minute and 7 seconds. That was a Dan Marino-led operation. The 2023 49ers were 5-0. They'd trailed for a minute 45. And then the 99 Rams, greatest show on turf, who won the Super Bowl, had trailed for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Then it's the Vikings at 3:26.
Crazy number.
They have not chased. And it was the first time this weekend against the Jets where they were really in a tight game. Sam Darnold threw a bad interception in the second half. They kind of played a little bit tighter. You could tell so much of that is it's been 72 and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be that way the entire time, but I just thought that number was staggering.
That is nuts. So you look at, for example, they beat Green Bay by 2, but they had this enormous lead. Green Bay came roaring back, so there you figure out those.
28-7.
Yeah, there's some minutes there. I think with San Francisco, it was similar. I don't think they trailed for much in that game, if at all. I know it ended up being a one-score game, but that's how you get to those kind of totals, is you score first and then kind of hang on.
Here's another crazy Viking stat. Over their final five games on their schedule, again, they're one of two 5-0 teams in the league, the only 5-0 team in Washington's conference. They are going to face two teams in their last 12 games with a winning record right now. Atlanta and Detroit, who they play twice. Their opponent winning percentage is .469 the rest of the way.
But they got Green Bay in week 17. Green Bay's 3-2.
This was from Sunday, so I guess.
There you go.
So it says pending today. So now the Packers would also be a third team.
Mm-hmm.
Pending today, it said. I thought it was before last night, but this is from Sunday. So you're talking about Atlanta, Detroit, and then if we're throwing the Packers in at 3-2, opponent winning percentage then has shifted closer to .500, but three out of 12 teams with winning records.
So before the season started, I did not pick them to go to the postseason. Didn't pick them to win the division, certainly. And the reason was, I didn't think they'd be bad by any stretch, but I go, their first six games, there's only one team in there that I go, yeah, that team's not very good, which is week one against the Giants. I'm going, this row of San Francisco, Houston, Green Bay, Jets, who I thought were going to be good,
yeah,
and Detroit. That is as tough a schedule to start a season as you're going to find.
Slobber
knocker. Five of those six teams are either defending playoff teams or probably going right back again, right? And they're 5-0 in that stretch. They got Detroit now after their bye week in week 7. What an unbelievable start for them. Unbelievable.
One other number I made note of yesterday that I saw. Rate of drives to reach the red zone. The Commanders get to the red zone on 60% of their drives, an NFL high. The next best team is San Francisco at 47%. Nobody's over 50, except Washington, and they're at 60 in terms of getting to the red zone. Speaks to the lack of punts. You know what a big deal has been? Fourth down. They're 8-for-8 on fourth down.
Eight for eight?
They have not been stopped yet. And they're not just going for fourth and ones all the time. They had a fourth and three with a 34-yard Daniels run.
It's not a tush-push situation either, right?
No, they've had a fourth and four, I believe, in there. They're 8-for-8 on fourth down. They're one of the best teams in the league on third down. But they get into field goal range, a.k.a. the red zone, for a chip shot 60% of the time.
That's incredible.
Seibert still hasn't missed. He's perfect, and his long is 45. Like, they have not asked him to even kick anything close to a 50-yarder at this point. They haven't had to. Let's go to the phones, Jupes and Gaithersburg. How many teams are better than Washington right now?
So I'm going to be a hypocrite in my statement. For the analytical guys, we're the best of the best. For the eye test guys, we're the best of the best. I can't say the Vikings because Sam Darnold, if you remember when he was with Carolina, he had a hot start, and then those ghosts just popped up on him, and I'm feeling like that's about to creep up on him now. Only team I think that's better than us is Kansas City. My reason why is because they back-to-back Super Bowl champs, they're current reigning champs, and with all the injuries on offense, they're still 5-0. But that don't mean I don't think we can beat them. Outside of that, really, I think we're the best of the best, man. And with, like I told you guys before, this is not a finished product of the offense. We still got pieces in development.
Well, there's no doubt about
Appreciate you, dude.
But the results aren't going to get better, right? The team might get guys to play better, or it might be different, and even get improvement in certain areas. But the numbers, you know, you're not going to never drop passes. You're not going to not be behind the chains. You're not going to never turn the ball over. As we've started to see slightly more the last couple of weeks, you're trying to dig out a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, gets a little more difficult. Unless Daniels can just avoid a sack and throw for 66. On 3rd and 13.
Yeah, which, you know, you just count on that every week. I mean, those amazing plays are amazing because they stand out.
Just do more of that. Mike in Colesville, you're on Grant and Danny. How many teams are better than the Commanders right now?
I don't think you can say any teams are better. But this is the NFL, and teams have a way of figuring you out. But that's why I think we may never get to the point where we say any team is better. Because there's no figuring out this offense. You pack the box, and Jaden's going to pick you apart, or Eckler's going to gas you on the screen. You drop 7, and our running game is unstoppable. So we may end up looking at a season where nobody's better than us.
There's something sustainable to it, in all sincerity, right? When you have that equalizer of a quarterback that's that athletic, who can make wrong into correct. Like, again, I keep pointing to this one play, that 4th and 3 that you referenced. Cleveland won. Cleveland got everything that any defensive coordinator would ever ask for. An unblocked, hyper-athletic rusher who Washington should have drafted, quite frankly, a couple of years ago. That guy has Jaden Daniels dead to rights until it's a 34-yard gain. What are you supposed to do? What is anybody supposed to do? And I think to that point, there's stuff you could take away. This offense isn't so elite that, you know, the weaponry that you just, you know, you could spin the wheel and have it just land on somebody that's incredible. But right now, that equalizer of a quarterback that makes the wrong right makes it really hard to be able to stop everything all the time.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We'll talk to Austin Eckler about his banner performance. Had a 50-yard run, a 33-yard catch on a screen, another nice return on a kickoff. He'll be with us today at 5 right here on the Fan. Caps fans, you'll be excited to hear that John Carlson is with us as part of our Blitz. We're giving away tickets to a Caps game next Thursday night right at 4, and then Carly is on the show at that time. But next, top of the hour, as soon as we return in just a few moments, Lewis Riddick, ESPN analyst on the Commanders and the first 5 weeks in the NFL right here on G&D.